Father God, we thank you for your living word to us this morning. We pray that you will just help us as we reflect upon it to be open to your Holy Spirit prompting us and leading us on. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you've ever had an experience in your life that truly changed you or changed the way you look at things. For some people, it may be a tragic event that makes them value life as a bit more precious. A near-death experience or a serious illness can often make you value every minute that is precious. Or maybe the loss of a loved one just changes you and makes you look at life in a different way. I spent a few days up in Dunblane this week and just was conscious again as the anniversary of the terrible tragedy of the shooting of the children comes round, just aware again of how I felt on that particular day as the news was coming through. And as the events unfolded on that horrible day, I remember going home that evening and just looking at my children, just looking at my daughters, and just really, really appreciating the fact that they were in my life and how precious they were to me. For other people, it's the birth of a child that stops and makes them think about what's really important in life. You will all have your own thoughts and ideas and experiences that have been yours over the course of your life. An event that happens that stops you in your tracks and you think about life in a different way. In today's gospel reading, three disciples, Peter, James, and John, had one of these moments that was life-changing for them. They went with Jesus up the mountain, and where they were with him, Jesus was changed, transfigured before their very eyes. The Jesus they had known was now revealed to them in a new and incredible way. They'd always known that Jesus was special. They wouldn't have dropped their lives and followed him if he weren't special. But now they get a glimpse of who and what they are putting their trust in. Peter has previously confessed, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." He confessed it with his mouth. Now he knows in his heart what that really means. The reality of his confession has become a visual sign to him. Up to that point, Messiah was probably thought in human terms, a human king. But now these three disciples see the divine reality as well. And that's going to be very important to them in the future, because Jesus, the human king, will die before their very eyes. Transfiguration reminds us of the divine reality when human life fails us. Peter knew this was a big event, something far bigger than anything he had ever witnessed before. The disciples see Jesus in dazzling white clothes, and there speaking with him are Moses and Elijah. Peter was almost lost for words. Maybe what's ringing in his ears is he remembers Jesus saying to him that one day he will suffer and die. And so Peter offers to build three dwellings, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus. Suppose you could say this is where he wants to press the pause button in life so that Jesus wouldn't have to suffer and die. No need to go any further. Life has reached its perfect climax. Peter wants to stay in the moment, forever and ever. He doesn't want that moment to end. He wants to say in that glorious moment where Jesus is shining, where Moses and Elijah are present. I wonder if there have been times in your life when you wanted to press the stop button, the pause button, and just say, right, I don't want to go any further. I don't want to go anywhere else. I don't want to do another thing. I just want to stay here in this present moment. Stop life in its tracks and just be in that moment forever. We notice in our Old Testament reading that that's exactly what Elisha wanted to do. He wanted to press the pause button, the stop button. He doesn't want Elijah to leave him. He wants to stay with him forever. He clings on to Elijah. Three times Elijah says to Elisha, "You stay here, the Lord is going to send me here." And three times Elisha says, "I'm not going to leave you, I'm going to stick right with you." You see, the mantle of leadership is about to be passed to Elisha, but he can't bear the thought of life without his mentor, Elijah. The parting seemed too painful, the task ahead too overwhelming. We heard this past week of the death of the Reverend George Fox, who was chaplain down at Brayhead House for so many years. And I was just thinking, you know, it's just the anniversary of the time when I came down thinking to work with George at the centre, thinking that I would have many years with him to learn from him, to just have an understanding more of the healing ministry, just to soak in all his experience before he retired. But that didn't happen. George had surgery and he was never able to be at Brayhead House when I was there. And I can remember in the first weeks thinking, oh no, what's going to happen now? My mentor is not here. He's been taken away from the center. And it took a long time to adjust to the fact that I would be having to rely on God and not a man. But the adjustment happened, and day by day, one day at a time, we've been able to carry on with the ministry, not just myself, but others down at the center. The moment comes for Elisha when his mentor is taken away up into heaven, and we hear his anguished cry, my father, and he tears his clothes off himself, tears them up. But then he picks up Elijah's cloak, puts on the mantle, and moves forward in the company of those who have been sent to be with him as he goes on to serve and lead the people. There are times when we want to press the stop button and stay in the present moment. Sometimes because we're unsure of the future, because we're frightened about what might be ahead of us, because we don't want to let go of the moment. But that's not the way God works. That's not the answer. Peter and the other disciples are frightened at what they're seeing. They're anxious, but they're also overawed in wonder. They're not sure what to do. They want to stay. But then a cloud comes down from heaven and covers them. And a voice speaks out of the bright cloud. "This is my son, whom I love." And we remember these were the words spoken by God at Jesus' baptism at the very beginning of his ministry. And now as Jesus has his eyes set towards Jerusalem, here are the words again. This is my son whom I love. But this time God adds another few words. Listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to my son. You know, you remember in John's gospel, there comes a time when all of Jesus' disciples are starting to desert him. And Jesus turns to the 12 and said, will you also go? And Peter says, where else will we go? You have the words of eternal life. Listen to him, says God. He has the words of eternal life. I don't suppose we'll ever have the experience that these three disciples had when they come to see the Lord Jesus Christ shining like that on that particular day. But we do have an opportunity to be touched by the light of Christ every time we come to worship, every time we come into the sanctuary, every time we gather together as the body of Christ. We come together and we're lifted up. We're lifted up for a few moments from the cares of the world as we allow ourselves to be immersed in praise and worship. The disciples do not stay on the mountaintop. They come back down into the world again. They come back down with Jesus into a real messy situation. But they come down bringing with them what they have seen and what they have heard. And that experience will stay with them as they follow Jesus on, as they follow him into the Garden of Gethsemane, as they follow him to the cross. When the times are tough, they will remember and they will be blessed by the memory of this transfiguration day. You know, we are no different to the early disciples. They had doubts and questions, the same doubts and questions that sometimes arise in our minds in any time of difficulty. That's the time when we have to look to Jesus. There's a lovely old hymn. It says, O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Saviour, a life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Have faith in him. We gather today in the presence of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We gather in the presence of the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven. As we gather to worship here, we join in with the wonderful worship that continues all the time in heaven. And so as we worship, we are transfigured. We are transformed from fallen sinners to forgiven children of God. The light of Christ comes to shine upon us, and we go out from this place to shine that light into the community around us. We can draw strength from this passage of Scripture. The disciples drew strength from witnessing what happened, and Jesus too will draw strength from his experience. As he walks into the Garden of Gethsemane, when he asks for the cup to be taken from him, as he hangs on the cross, when the voice of God is silent, and the only voices he hears are those who taunt him. He cries out to the Lord, my God, why have you forsaken me? None of us will ever understand the darkness of the cross. We will never understand fully what Jesus went through. But all of us have had dark experiences in our lives, and we find it hard to understand what's happening. But because of Jesus, because of his love for us, we are drawn through the darkness by the light of the Transfiguration into the light of Easter Sunday, when all is made new. Next week, we begin the journey through Lent, where we walk the way of the cross, where the solemn nature of the season will remind us again of God's love for us and the glory of God that shone upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that shone upon the disciples, will shine upon us as we make the journey through the days of Lent to the glory of Easter Sunday, when the glory of the Lord is brought into our lives in a new way. I've got a little prayer here just to say as we close this part of the service. Let us pray. They saw his glory. It was him, the carpenter, the teacher, the one they followed, the one they knew. Yet it was more than him and more than the one they knew. His face was changed. His clothes shone lightning bright. He walked and talked with Moses and Elijah. And then they heard God speak, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." And today, God, you see our glory in me and you, the carpenter, the teacher, the carer, the plumber, the clerk, the shop worker, the me and you we know. And yet, God, you see more than that. You see your own creation. You know what each of us can be, changed and lightning bright. And so, Lord, as we walk with Jesus, do his work and follow his way, let us hear you too speak to us. "This is my son, this is my daughter, whom I have loved. Come, share my glory." Amen.